Thank you. Good morning. How is everyone this morning? How is everyone this morning? Oh, good. Good. Well, my name is Pastor Tori, and I am the pastor here at Union Congregational. No matter who you are or where you are in your life's journey, that you are welcome here. And wanted to welcome everybody this morning and remind you of a few things. If you have a hard time hearing me right now and you need a little bit of help with a hearing device, we have those located just outside the doors and to the right, sitting on that little table there. You're welcome to use those. And also this morning, if you are new or if your address has changed or if you simply just want to get our newsletters or any information to keep you informed of what's happening here at Union, these things are in your front pew right before you. And you can just fill out your name, address, contact information. And also, if we do have your information and it has changed, please update it on here. And then you can fold it in half and put it in the offering plate later in the service, and we'll be sure to change that or add that. Also, on the back of these things, there's prayer requests. Later on in the service, we have a prayer request time, and we say prayer requests out loud. But if there's something that you have that is more personal that you don't want to share, you can just write this, write the prayer request on the back. Again, fold it up, put it in the offering plate for my eyes only. So, and let's see, we have other announcements. But before we go into the other announcements, I've been getting a lot of questions about what is happening with the reminiscing and dreaming with the pastor on August 24th. And I encourage, it's open to the whole congregation, but I am specifically encouraging ministry leaders or people who are part of a ministry team to be there that day, because we are honoring our past and looking back at our past of where we've come from, where this church began, and going into our present and where we're at now, and then going into the future and dreaming about what we could be. This church has changed a lot, and it has changed with the culture, and it is trying to proclaim Jesus Christ to the community that we live in. And in order to do that, we need to look forward. And there's some things I have a ton of ideas, and if I share them all, it might scare some people. But I'm hoping that by sharing some of my ideas, that others will have other ideas to build upon it so that the church can minister to people in this community in a way that really, really resonates with them. So, there it is again, Saturday, August 24th, and we're going to be meeting in the lower level music room, and we do have an elevator to get down there, and we do have side doors into the lower level as well. Are there any other announcements?
The financial stewardship ministry team or board meeting will have the meeting on Wednesday instead of Tuesday, as it was in the calendar.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to talk about the pie sale, because you might see a picture of the four pastors somewhere. A lot of them were taken. I hope one will end up in a paper somewhere. They were having a good time. They all had their silly little aprons on. We sold 180 slices of pie, 30 pies we ended up with. We ran out by about 1:30, quarter to 2, and we made like $900 for the hub. I think it was the hot booth yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It was nice, because each pastor kind of had their own thing going. You know, you had Judy serving the pies and talking to people. You had Pastor Andrew serving up the ice cream, and then you had Father Tim was there for a little while. He had other commitments, and Father Tim was taking the money and getting the drinks, and I was doing something. I was out in front, and I was talking. I was getting people in. You want to hear my spiel? Yeah? Do you want to hear our deal about the pies? We have a great deal with pies today. You get a pie about this big slice of pie with a big scoop of ice cream, and then you have your choice from either coffee or lemonade. all of this, we have to bundle it together, all of that for $5. And the reason we got to bundle it, because we can't sell it separately, because pastors are doing this, we can't do math. And all proceeds go to the hub. So that was Judy's joke. I stole that from her. But I think I said that maybe about 150 times yesterday. So, but we had to mix it up, and I said, and why, you know, anyways. So at one point I was like, and why do we just start, what did I say? Why do we just charge $5 for all of this? And Judy would speak up and say, because we're pastors and we can't do math. So it was great fun working with all of them yesterday. Any other announcements?
I have one. Mm-hmm. We're going to be making prayer bears again. Women's Fellowship is. I'm looking for someone with a non-arthritic hand that can cut some prayer bears out of fabric. I've got them all lined out. We just need to cut on the line. And then I'm looking for someone else with a sewing machine that can make a zigzag stitch to sew the eyes and the noses on. So see me after church if you can do that.
I can cut.
She's a lefty, though, so.
Doesn't count. We could use another cutter. We got one more announcement in the back. You can't end announcements with a zinger on the pastor.
We're servers, so we won't be here for the prayer requests later. And I just wanted everyone to know that Todd came off of the ventilator on Tuesday.
Wonderful.
So his family was able to spend a couple days with him before he passed peacefully at night. So it was a good thing.
Thank you for updating us on that. Any other announcements? Let's prepare our hearts and our minds for worship by taking a time of silence and reflection. Please join with me in the call to worship. The Christian life is not so much a destination as a journey. Nor in the acts of worship or faithful service. Moments with family, friends, and those whom we love.
And celebrating those
Let's worship God. Join with me in prayer. God of creation and joy, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for entering our lives fully through your Son, Jesus Christ. Encourage us to live the truth we find and guide us to seek the truth yet undiscovered. We are grateful for the bond of love and faith which connects us with those around us and with you. May our worship today draw us closer to you. Amen. If you are able, let's stand and sing. All are welcome. And we're going to be doing verses 1, 2, and 4. And it's in the supplemental hymnal on page 3. That's the red binder that's in your things. Otherwise, the words will be up on the screen.
Thank you.
The peace of God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us take this time to greet our friends and neighbors with the peace of Christ. Seated.
Our reading today is from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 30. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, and they spoke the word to no one except Jews. But among them were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch, where he came and saw the grace of God. He rejoiced and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for an entire year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. At that time, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine all over the world, and this took place during the reign of Claudius. The disciples determined that according to their ability, each would send relief to the believers living in Judea. This they did, sending it to the elders by Barnabas and Saul.
Thank you, Heidi. Growing up on a farm was always very interesting. We were never, ever bored. And we always found something to do. My dad worked from 5:30 in the morning to about 6:30 at night, sometimes later, depending on the season and depending upon the harvest. And one thing I noticed about farmers is that they help each other. We had a neighbor named Jermaine Van Loo and his wife Lucille. And Jermaine and Lucille had a son named Gerald who lived down the road. Both families, both Gerald and Jermaine, their families were farmers. And in the summer, we helped each other bale hay. And baling hay was quite the process. And for those who have a background as farmers or maybe grew up on a farm, The next part I'm going to tell you is going to be kind of old news, but I think you might want to resonate with it a little bit. The first thing to know is that growing hay is a multi-step process. You cut it, you let it dry, and then you rake it into nice little rows. And then you bale it. And we had a kick baler, which was fun because it used to kick out the bales and then it kicked them back into what we called a cage wagon. That's what we called it, cage wagon. And this picture would be exactly what we would do, except this might be offensive to some people, but my dad did not like John Deere. And if he was alive today, he would say, "What are you doing putting a John Deere up there?" He was a Ford man. So, but that is exactly what it looked like. And when we would take the wagon to the barn, and we would unload it, and we'd put it onto what we called an elevator, which stood at about a 45-degree angle, and we would transfer it from the wagon to this elevator, and it would go up to the haymow. And then it would transfer onto a rack, which was a conveyor belt that was like extended all the way across the length of the barn. And then my brother would get on the rack and he would kick off the bales so that the barn could get full. So filling our barn for the winter was a multi-step process. It was a multi-person process. And it was hard work. And it took a long time. And it was important to get our barn full so that the cows and the other animals had enough food to get us through the winter and get us through the year. Now, sometimes one of the three, either my dad or Gerald or Jermaine, wouldn't have enough hay in their own field to get them through the winter. Maybe a flood happened, or maybe that crop didn't grow that year. For example, let's say that my dad didn't have enough hay to produce to fill his barn for the winter. Gerald and Jermaine would cut one of their fields again, and we would bale that, and then drive it down the road and bring it to our barn so that we could get all three barns full. The goal was to fill our own barn. That was the main goal. But the ultimate goal was to fill all three barns, looking out for one another, helping one another, and making sure that we're all going to make it through another year. That's what farmers do. In the story we have today, the early church is figuring out how it should function. Many people scattered over persecution that broke out in Jerusalem, and they settled in other places like Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. And this was Roman territory at the time. And you can't blame them for not wanting to talk about Jesus to anybody. They only spoke with people that they were familiar with. This was Roman territory. But it says some men came to Antioch, which was way north of Jerusalem. And they spoke to what they called Hellenists. And these were people who were from a Greek background. They weren't Jewish. And Romans integrated some of the Greek beliefs, the Hellenistic beliefs, in their culture as well. So when it says Hellenists, there's some translations of the Bible that say Greek. The message of Christ was being accepted by some Greeks, by those that the believers spoke to. And this news that Greeks and Romans were hearing the message and receiving it, that was a big deal. And Jerusalem, the believers in Jerusalem, the apostles, heard about this. And so they sent a man named Barnabas to Antioch to see firsthand what was happening. And when Barnabas came onto the scene, he got really, really excited about what God was doing in that area. But then it says he went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when I was reading this the first time, I said, wait, why did Barnabas do that? Why did he take off and try to go find Saul? And for those who were here last week, we read a story about Saul and his amazing conversion experience on the road to Damascus. And Saul began preaching that Jesus was really the Messiah in all the synagogues. But why did Barnabas seek after Saul? Why did he go as far as Tarsus to go look for this guy? Remember last week when we talked about the uniqueness of Saul's skills that he had? He was highly educated in Jewish law. He was the Hebrew of Hebrews, and that's coming from his mouth in his writings. He was faultless when it came to obeying the law. He was a Pharisee. He was also educated in the Greek system. Not only the Jewish system, he was educated in the Greek system. And he was a citizen of Rome. He knew how to bridge the Jewish and the Hellenistic cultures. He could speak both cultural languages. He could communicate in a way that only a Greek or a Roman could communicate with another Greek or Roman. Saul was perfect for this job of discipling new Hellenistic people of faith. And so Barnabas went to go get him. So Barnabas comes back with Saul to teach and make disciples. And they spent an entire year in Antioch doing that. And it says that Antioch was the first place and the first time where disciples were called Christians. Then the story tells us that someone prophesied that a famine would happen. And the disciples in Antioch decided to send a relief to the believers in Judea. Now, I don't know what relief is. I mean, it could have been money, it could have been supplies, it could have been food, but they sent Barnabas and Saul with it. So my guess that provision could be carried. And if I would have to take a guess, that it would probably be money that they sent. And it says that they gave according to their ability. This young church, just figuring out how to function and how to define themselves, thought it was important not only to look out for themselves, but look out for those who might be in need so that they can get by too. They helped somebody else fill their barn, because that's what Christians do. Now, in the modern church, we have a similar system set up. We have our regular budget, money purpose to pay for our church building, the ministries, and our operations. We create our budget based on our tithes and our offerings that we receive. This month is our stewardship month. So many of us have received a letter in the mail with a little envelope asking for a commitment for this next year. And based on those commitments that we receive, we get a good idea and a reality of what our operation budget is. That is our own church. That is our own barn. And we need to fill our own barn. Now, we have neighbors who need help filling their barns because they don't have enough to get them through the year. We know these neighbors through the United Church of Christ conferences and national office. We see them in our bulletins every once in a while. We read about them in the newsletters every once in a while. And we may recognize some of their names. Let me see if you guys recognize any of these. The first one is our church's wider mission. Anybody recognize that one? A few of us recognize it? Okay, great. I'm going to have you raise your hands almost every time just to let you know. One Great Hour of Sharing. People know that one? Okay. Strengthen the Church. We know that one. Okay? Neighbors in need. We know that one. Stan and Joni are in the front row. Just keep your hand up. And then the Christmas fun. Okay. But a lot of us have seen these things. We've seen these names. But some of us don't know what exactly they do. What are we giving money for? And some of us say, you know what, I tithe, and so I don't need to give to these other things. And they ask each other, well, why? Why should I give to these? And the answer is that we're helping our neighbors fill their barns so that they can get through the year. And we give according to our ability. We give what we can. The first, oh, I forgot that part. I'm going to give you a general idea of what all these do. We're going to come back to our church's wider mission in a little bit. But the one great hour of sharing, if we could do one phrase or a couple of words that would envelop that mission, it would be disaster relief. Strengthening the church, church plants, or new ministries. Neighbors in need, it would be social justice issues. And then the Christmas fund is retired clergy and spouses. And that's a very general idea of what four out of the five are giving towards. The one great hour of sharing, I thought this was really interesting when it focuses on disaster relief. In January through June of 2019, the UCC Disaster Ministries funded disaster recovery work touching survivors of hurricanes and floods and tornadoes and cyclones and earthquakes and volcanic eruptions in 10 U.S. states and territories and 9 other countries, topping $500,000. And that was tweeted July 31st. I think that's pretty incredible. And that gives an idea of if we give to this fund, that's where our money goes to. Strengthening the church, church plants. This supports youth ministries and full-time leaders and new churches in parts of the country where the UCC doesn't have a very strong presence. It also provides support for existing churches and new initiatives. Before I came here to Union, I was involved in a church plant in Davenport, Iowa. And it was important because we don't have a whole lot of open and affirming churches within Davenport. We have a handful of them, but for that community, as big as it is, to have another open and affirming church, that is what we planted, that is what we started, and we started it in downtown Davenport in a storefront. And the money that we received as a grant to kick off this church start was received from the Strengthening the Church. And that is where we got our start. Neighbors in need, social justice. It supports ministries of justice and compassion throughout the United States, including the Council of American Indian Ministries, justice and advocacy, and direct service projects supported by justice and local ministry, or local church ministries. And the last one we see at Christmas time for retired pastors, supports those who serve the church and are facing financial difficulties. Active and retired clergy and their surviving spouses may be eligible for supplementation of small annuities, supplementation of health premiums, and emergency grants. And this is very important, especially as clergy people, men and women, get older. This fund is highly important. And these four, or our church's wider mission, our church's wider mission kind of envelops a couple of them. Social justice, church plants, our projector got stuck, there, disaster relief, and it is within the UCC only. The other four are sometimes ecumenical efforts so that others in need can survive and thrive in their communities, but our church's greater mission is only in the UCC. And it helps with the missional ministry that focuses on these areas, but it also helps with the state and national levels by giving training and opportunity for pastors and lay people. And it also helps people who are in seminary. And last summer, I was going through my ordination process. And part of my ordination process was to do something called CPE. And that was clinical pastoral education. And that's kind of a fancy term for, I was a chaplain in a hospital for 3 months. And I was trained. It was probably one of the most emotional, and I learned so incredibly much. It was emotional and it was educational, and it helped me get my head straight, basically. It helped me minister out of a place where I knew my past. It was kind of like you're counseling people but getting counseling yourself. That's the best I can put it. Because we would sit in hospital rooms with people who were going through physical ailments and talking about their family, and then going back to your class setting and then talking about what happened and things that triggered emotion within you. And so I would walk into a hospital room and I knew immediately that that person triggered my father, or I knew immediately that that person triggered my sister. And there was a whole ton of emotions that were happening inside of me that I needed to figure out what was going on. And that is part of the ordination process within the UCC. They make every person who's going to be a pastor do that for that specific reason. And so I needed to go through that, but I didn't have the money. It cost about $1,000, and it was from 8:30 in the morning to 4:30 in the afternoon, and I couldn't have a job. And so it was our church's wider mission, a smaller, that was the umbrella, but underneath it was called Funding Future Leaders. And I got a grant from that. And they helped me pay for those 3 months so that I could continue my ordination process. Otherwise, without that grant, I couldn't have done it. And so that's part of what that does. Hope that made sense. So these are the five UCC missional ministries. And when a church supports all five of these, they are called a five for five church. And it's kind of a big deal because not all churches within the UCC support all five of these. And the question is our church a five for five? Does anybody know? You know, I was gonna say, people who know, leaders, be quiet. But we are a five for five church, and that is a big, big deal. And the great thing about it is that there is the our church's wider mission is within our budget. So when we tithe, it is a line item in our budget, but the other four are not. And so we have special months where we can give out of what we can. So that people can fill their barns, and we can help them fill their barns. The story we read today is really fascinating to me. Believers took a risk to speak the name of Jesus to somebody outside of their community, and they began to believe. Barnabas knew the perfect person to bring into Antioch to teach these believers in a way that they could understand. And then they decided to look outside of themselves and look to those who they could help. And it was the roots of beginning of what church would look like forever. My hope today, I have a lot of hopes. I have a lot of dreams for Union Congregational. This is one of them. That we have the courage to speak and risk speaking about Jesus to somebody who is outside of our community and outside of maybe things that we typically believe in. And may we recognize the perfect people to bring into leadership and to guide the mission of this church in a way where the the community can understand it. And may we decide to look outside of ourselves and choose to help fill the barns of others when we have that ability and opportunity to do so. Amen. That's an amen. Let us join together and sing. I don't know what we're singing. I have to look in the bulletin. Let's stand. If you can stand, let's sing. All hail the power of Jesus' name. We're going to do verses 1, 2, and 4. And it's in your hymnals on page 304. Be seated. Let us take some time to share our joys and concerns and our praises and our prayer requests. Is there anyone who has a prayer or a prayer request? Praise or a prayer request?
I'll give you an update on Dick. We have an update from when we were at fellowship on Wednesday.
Okay.
We talked to the dietitian. And his weight is not that low. There was something wrong with the weighing chair. But his weight is still low for his height. It's 133. And they have him on a 2,500 calorie intake, and 1,300 of that is protein in his feed. So right now our goal is to get him up to the weight that he needs to be, get him stronger. And it's still a possibility. I mean, it's going to be a long shot that he can relearn to swallow. But, I mean, we're talking down the road. And the catheter is still in. He seems to be more alert every day we go in. They've stopped his PT because he's just too weak to do it. And so it's just going to be a day-by-day thing with Dick. And each day he makes a stride is a good day. So keep the prayers coming.
Okay. Thank you, Dolly.
I have a couple of joys. Our family was with us this week, and that was a joy. And also, last week I mentioned, or perhaps 2 weeks ago, I mentioned a young man named Lowell, who's known by the nickname of Cub, and he had back surgery. He's quite a young man. He is well enough. He drove himself and his children up here to the cabin, so his surgery went really well, and I'm just so thankful. He is such a wonderful person. So thank you for your prayers, and keep them coming for healing.
Okay. You said his name was Cub?
Cub.
I'm just going to give a little update of my daughter and her husband who are hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. I think they've hiked about 1,600 miles over 3 months. And we just got word yesterday that they were going to seek medical attention for shin splints, which my daughter's husband is starting to develop, and they're very painful. So part of us is hoping this will get them off the trail so they'll be done. And the other part is, of course, wishing that they could finish because they want to finish. But it's just a grueling project. So I don't know how you're going to spin that.
If I don't have the words, God knows.
I'm so thankful that my daughter Anna is here to share a week with me. She has such a beautiful faith. I'm glad that she can share it with us in our church. But I do believe that we are all concerned about those folks that have been involved in the shootings, mm-hmm. either. And my heart just reaches out to them for some kind of solace, support, mm-hmm. and wow, our church needs to lift up our prayers for them, mm-hmm. for them all, and those who have to, in our government, who need to deal with these kinds of situations. For that, I ask our prayers.
Thank you, Mary. Yeah, it's been a rough, heartbreaking few weeks. And the shootings, the violence, it seems to be getting worse, doesn't it? Okay, let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before you today. Some of us having thankful and grateful hearts for family who have come, who have joined them, who can be with us here in the North Woods. God, thank you for the time that we have building relationships and having fun. God, we know that you are in those moments, and we thank you. God, we thank you for this creation that you have made so that we can enjoy it. And we thank you, knowing that you are a God who is in control. God, we thank you that Mary and her daughter Anna is here to experience her church. We thank you that she is here today. God, we thank you that Heidi's family, Tim's family, Chris's family are here today, are here this week, that they can share memories and build a community with their family and just love on each other. God, we thank you for Peter and Jenny, as they're out on the trail hiking. We thank you that they have come this far and that their determination is just pushing them and pushing them, because this is something that they really want to do. But we also ask that you keep them safe. We ask that you heal Peter of the shin splints, and that if they come off the trail, that they have a peace about it. And if they continue on the trail, we ask for you to protect them. Continue to protect them. And God, we thank you for Cub, that his surgery went so well that he got to drive up here, which is amazing. We thank you for seeing him through that. And also ask that as he is up here with his family, that you create times where he can just relax and be with his family. God, we also pray for Todd's family, with him having those last few days of his life off the respirator. We ask a special peace come upon his family. Comfort them and let them know that you are near. And God, we pray for Dick. We pray that he begins to gain weight, that his body begins to process that protein in his system. We pray that he gains strength so that he can do physical therapy. And we pray that he can come home soon. And God, we pray for our country. It seems to be going crazy. And people can't see what they have in common. We pray for the families who have lost loved ones in shootings and violence over the past few weeks. Because they're not only isolated in one state, they are all over this country. Because we always know somebody who knows somebody who's experienced violence. We ask for peace, God. And we ask for decision making. We ask that you give our leaders and our government sanity, that you give them wisdom so that we can move this country forward. God, we ask that even our local leaders, our mayor, our governor, our senators, we ask that they continue to communicate, that they seek common ground with one another. And God, we thank you for this small community of Hackensack. We thank you that we could come together. An example, I think of the Arts Festival yesterday, how we could come together and be unified and just simply be a community together. We thank you, God, for always guiding us, for always working in us, working through us, and shining your light through us to light up this world, to bring your kingdom here on this earth. And God, we pray now together, as your Son Jesus has taught us to pray. Our God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now it's time for a short stewardship moment, and I'm glad Tori talked about the budget stuff, so I don't have to spent a lot of time on here, because Don Hoppe told me, keep it short. And I will try to do that with just the quick things. I feel so lucky and fortunate that last night during the night, I fell out of bed for the first time and maybe bruised a rib in my back. But I'm so fortunate I didn't hurt my recently replaced hip or my shoulder from a few years ago. So that's fortunate. I'm fortunate to be here and talk about how we love this church, talking about Joni and I. It was back in the 90s, probably 96 or 97, that we know, we found out there was a Union Congregational Church here at Hackensack, and we didn't know much about Union Congregational, part of the United Church of Christ. So we came for a couple of Sundays and really liked the service. We thought it was great. And after the service, we spent time for coffee and fellowship and thought that was great, met a lot of new friends. We have continued with this church ever since because we feel fortunate that this church exists and is there for us, and we want to be there for them. And I hope all you will be too.
Thank you, Stan. Will the ushers please come forward for this morning's tithes and offerings? Let's sing one last song together called Bind Us Together. Kathleen, Bind Us Together.
Thank you. That wasn't your mistake, Kathleen. That was mine.
I don't know why I wasn't expecting to come in.
You are great. Before the benediction, Kathleen's offertory, I was looking over her shoulder. There are no more black notes on that page than I've ever seen on any piece of music. So thank you for doing that offertory. Receive now the benediction. May God the Creator go with you this week. May God the Son shine through you. And may God the Holy Spirit work through you and guide you. In Christ's name, go in peace.
Yeah.